At least three victims attending peace talks with the rebel group FARC, the Revolutionary Armed Forces of Colombia, and organizers of the Victim Participation Group have received death threats, according to the United Nations. This is coming out of the website Colombia Reports this morning. The three victims were part of the first and second round of victims who traveled to the peace talks, which are taking place in Havana. All death threats were allegedly signed by neo-paramilitary groups, new groups that have emerged since the so-called AUC, the Self-Defense Group of Colombia, demobilized a few years back under the President Álvaro Uribe. Of the 24 people who have so far told their stories at the talks, three have appeared on blacklists or received mail with death threats signed by armed groups launched by ex-paramilitaries. That's what Fabricio Hochschild, the UN's resident coordinator in Colombia, said yesterday. Seven other victims have also been the target of verbal attacks on social networks. The UN reporter said it's obvious based on the tone of the statements that these are groups that oppose the peace process. This involves individuals from civil society writing on social networks, as well as illegal armed groups. Although no names of the threatened victims were disclosed, one of them allegedly is Yaneth Bautista, who was among the first to attend the peace talks, according to the website Pulso. Bautista's sister, a member of the guerrilla group M19, was kidnapped and killed by the paramilitaries. The third round of victims arrived in Havana on Wednesday, where they'll discuss reparations for the victims of the war with the FARC and the Colombian government. Again, a very unique component of the peace negotiations unfolding in Havana between the Colombian government of Juan Manuel Santos and the Revolutionary Armed Forces of Colombia representatives. That's what we're going to talk about now with our two guests on the line right now. Diana Gomez is pursuing her doctorate in anthropology at the University of North Carolina. She is the daughter of the late trade union leader Jaime Gomez, who was forcibly disappeared on March 21st, 2006 in Bogota, and his remains were found 1 month later on April 23rd. He was an aide to the Senator Piedad Córdoba of the Liberal Party when he was killed. Then President Uribe first told the international community that he died due to an accident. Well, in 2007, the Office of the Attorney General determined that his death was indeed a homicide, and of course, one of many homicides and victims of this dirty war in Colombia. Diana Gomez, it's a great pleasure to have you on this morning. Of course, our condolences always. This is something that you could never forget, despite the years, but we welcome you here to WBAI and to New York City. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Mario. Good morning.
We're also joined by Gabriel Chavez. Gabriel Chavez is a human rights activist and community organizer. He's a member of the Movement for Peace in Colombia, and they're organizing an event in which Diana and another representative of the victims' families who are here in New York will be speaking, I believe, tonight. Gabriel Chavez, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Mario.
Diana Gomez, first of all, your reaction to this news report. Again, I read it from Colombia Reports, the website, that as this peace negotiation is going on, and a very unique aspect of it being that the victims are speaking directly to the victimizers, both the rebels as well as the government. What is your reaction to this, that they're being threatened?
First, we consider that it's really important that victims are in La Habana. We have asking for many times to be heard for Colombians and for the victimizers. So this is a really important opportunity for victims and for the country, because we consider that Colombia needs to know what happened. And when the victims can go to La Habana and can tell their stories, it is a way to know what happened in Colombia. And we also are really worried because all these threats that victims, but also human rights defenders and other activists are receiving in Colombia. One of the members of Sons and Daughters for Memory and Against Impunity, that is my organization, is in one of these lists, as well as other members that live in Nariño, that is in the south region of Colombia. So we are really worried because we don't understand how in this moment, we are talking about peace and we are negotiating peace, but many people that is working actively in the peace negotiation, that is supporting this process, is receiving these threats. And we consider that we need to pay attention to that because maybe this is one of the ways or this is one of the paths that the peace can take in Colombia. And we really want peace without more war and without more people that is dead because things different.
Tell us, Diana, about your father. What were the circumstances? I kind of give a very general introduction, but what were the circumstances of his death, and what has been the result of the investigations and the case in general?
As you say, my father was first disappeared on March 21st, 2006, and then his remains were found in April. And when my father was disappeared, the attitude of different state officers was to negate the disappearance of my father. Many times they say that maybe it was a self-disappearance, so it did really difficult to look for him and to find him alive. Then when his remains were found, different people from the state and the government say that it was an accident. And it was very difficult for us because we not only have to face the pain to lose him, but also we have to face this idea, and it affects a lot the investigation, because although in 2006 the Attorney General recognized that it was an homicide, then in October 2007, they changed the investigator, and since that moment, the defense investigator say that it could be also an accident. And it made that we lost a lot of information about who killed my father and who are the masterminds of the crime and why they do that. So recently in May, the new investigator did other investigations, and now they recognize again that my father was assassinated, that it was a murder. But we are really worried because we have to wait 8 years. Mm-hmm. To reach this point, and we want to know what happened.
Right, and probably dozens and hundreds of others who haven't been able to even get to that point. Diana Gomez, again, she's one of the many victims or family members of victims of the dirty war in Colombia, and her father, a trade union leader, killed in 2006 by certainly the culprits of it most clearly were paramilitaries, correct, Diana? Or was it ever determined as to who was behind the murder of your father, Jaime Gomez?
We don't know exactly who is behind, but we have enough information to say that this is a crime committed by state officers and also paramilitaries. But we need that the investigators can find who were the masterminds, but also the perpetrators of this crime. And we also need to know what was the reason to do that. Right. Like for us, it's really important that.
Well, given the track record of how many dozens, if not hundreds, of trade unionists over the years have been killed in Colombia because of their organizing, because of their work, trying to bring justice for workers, whether they're banana workers, whether they're working in the in the many different industries, the oil industry, et cetera, there's been so many different attacks directed at the trade union movement, and generally emanating, probably, you know, almost 100% emanating from the right and from paramilitary groups and state forces that working with them. We're speaking with Diana Gomez. We're also joined by Gabriel Chavez, who's a human rights activist, a community organizer, member of the Movement for Peace in Colombia. Gabriel, your thoughts on this and the importance of getting this aspect of the war crimes in Colombia out there, especially to a public here in the U.S., in which Colombia in many ways is not even on their radar screen.
Yeah, well, one of the things that we have that Diana mentioned was the possibility of many of these crimes ending in impunity after the peace talks, and we are trying to inform the people of the U.S. and New York about the situation of human rights in Colombia. Yeah, that's we in principle, because we started this process with Colombia is one of the biggest recipients of humanitarian aid in the world. During the many years, it was the Plan Colombia that supported the war against the insurgency, and many of these crimes occurred during this time. Our organization has, during these 8 years, tried to give an audience to people that come from Colombia and denounce the situation of human rights. As Erika Bautista, you mentioned, one who has been also here and mentioned the constant threat that human rights defenders suffer in Colombia.
So Diana, what is the organization doing to make sure that that the peace talks don't let that go? I mean, I think to a certain extent, the government has been using this as an example of how realistic and how sincere they are in terms of addressing and trying to bring peace and sign a peace agreement. But there's a lot of concerns that this is just a whitewash. In other words, kind of a show, a spectacle, to say, yeah, we're letting the victims of the war address the peace table, the peace talks, but in reality, the justice is not truly going to be served. What are your thoughts about that, and what could be done to make sure that that does occur?
I think that we have this preoccupation, like we don't want to go there and only tell our story without any effect. And I think that one of the most challenging points of the agenda of negotiation is the one that addresses victims' rights. And we are conscious that in this moment, justice needs to be negotiated in order to reach a peace agreement. But we want that both parties, the guerrilla but also the state, they serious our demands. And I think that a really, really important demand for the majority of victims is to know the truth. For that reason, it's really important a true commission. But we also think that we need to imagine, and we have to imagine, other measures of justice. Maybe jail is not necessarily the best way, although we consider that it has to be part of the process. But we also consider that it is necessary to have other ways to have justice in Colombia. And for victims, it's really important the relationship that exists between true justice and reparation and guarantees of no repetition. And certainly, like, we want that if we have the possibility to go to La Habana, this will take seriously for the parties and for the rest of the society, because we also think that the rest of the society needs to play an active role, knowing what happened in Colombia, but also trying to change how the country is organized in the present.
Diana, I wonder if I might ask you, you know, you say it's fundamental to make known from your own voices the situation in Colombia and your contribution to the Colombian society today. Does the average citizen not know about the contribution that has been made to date?
Oh, I think that for Colombians, it's difficult to face what happened in Colombia. Mm. I think that many of us know what happened, but we don't reflect or we don't think critically about that. And I think that it is really important. Like, maybe we know and we recognize events, but we don't have like a more profound analysis of our history. Mm. And we think that it is really important, because it is not only that you know what happened in certain day to certain person, mm-hmm. but that you can know the complexity of Colombian reality. And mm-hmm. when we talk about our fathers, We don't want to talk only about Jaime Gomez or Guillermo Rivera, but we want to know, that we want that people know what has happened with those people that have thinking a different country, that have imagined a different society, and they have been killed because of that. So we think that it is not only true for the sake of truth, but true in order to achieve social transformation, and true in order that Colombians can comprehend the complexity of Colombian reality.
There is a collective amnesia that does occur. I remember going to Villa Grimaldi, one of the torture camps of the Chilean dictator Augusto Pinochet. A few years ago, I was there with a friend from Colombia, and we were just visiting. We were at an event in Santiago, but we went to this place to see and pay tribute to the many victims of this dirty war. And I remember walking around and looking at the little torture chambers that the so-called subversives were being tortured by the Chilean military. And we thought to ourselves, and we were talking to ourselves and reflecting with some of the Chileans that we were with, as to you know, this is horrible, this is horrific, but the Chileans are at least addressing at least a good sector of the Chilean society is addressing and recognizing this terrible period in their history. And we said, when will that happen in Colombia, where the society will accept what has happened, the dirty war that has taken so many lives, and deliberately targeting these lives, not by accident, not by being caught in the crossfire, but being the direct targets of the dirty war being waged against people who are struggling for social justice, human rights, economic equality, etc., on the ground in Colombia. We're speaking with Diana Gomez, who is with the organization is called Movimiento Hijos e Hijas por la Memoria y contra la Impunidad, which is Sons and Daughters for Memory and Against Impunity. Her colleague, Shaida Rivera, is also here in New York, and they're going to be speaking today at Columbia University, tomorrow in Queens. And Gabriel Chavez, we have very few minutes left. If you can just tell us in a minute where they can see them speak today and tomorrow through the Movement for Peace in Colombia.
Okay, so today is at Columbia University from 3 to 5 p.m., the building is Hamilton 304, Hamilton Building Room 304.
Hamilton 304 in Columbia University, the campus here in, uptown in Harlem.
Yes, and 116 on Broadway.
Okay, and that's at what time again?
And that's from 3 p.m. to 5 p.m.
3 to 5, and then tomorrow it's going to happen at the La Terraza, I understand, correct?
Yes, it's at Terraza in Queens, and that's from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m.
Okay, well, hopefully people will go and they can check out the Movement for Peace in Colombia, the website you have, correct?
Yes, the website is MFPIC, the letters of Movement for Peace in Colombia, including for and in Movement for Peace in Colombia, MFPIC.org.